So thank you for being here this morning. I am going to jump right in. As the next few weeks, beginning next Sunday, we're going to be doing a new series titled Real Talk. I just forgot it. That's not good. A good start. But Real Talk. And we're going to be talking about things when you turn on your news or you turn on your TV, topics that you might say that doesn't line up with the Word of God. We're going to look at some different things. We're going to look at politics on the fourth week. So that's far away. We're not going to be preaching who to vote for. But what do we do in a season of outrage culture where if we don't agree with somebody, we can't even be near them, it feels like? What do we do in these situations? What do we do when the environment is against one another? Even in this room, there would be many different things. And it's sad, but there would be times when it's easier to just not get in conversations or not encourage each other because we're going to have a problem. What do we do in those situations? What do we do with addiction? What do we do? Where does alcohol play into this? We're going to be talking about that in the month of February. What do we do when it comes to LGBTQ, all of those things? What do we do as the church? How do we respond and how do we show love and care for people while at the same time making sure that above all we stand true to what the Word of God would say? And Valentine's is in there. And what do we do just when it comes to love, when it comes to being a good friend, a good spouse, someone that can care for people? So I encourage you the month of February to come with a heart that is soft to what God might say. Because I believe there's going to be some things that you are like, yeah, that's right. And there's probably going to be some things that you might not like. I don't know if that's possible. We're all, I'm sure, lined up perfectly with the Word, so that would never happen. But there's possibility that there's something that would say that's like, I don't like that in the Bible. And what do we do when we don't like what the Bible says? Anybody ever been there? Maybe, in fact, in this Bible reading plan, or you're reading in your own way, and however you're doing it, you see things that happened or things that are taught or the principle, and you say, Lord, I don't know what to do with that. I don't know how that fits. And I believe we're going to talk through some of those things, not giving all the answers, because I don't know that we have all the answers, but asking the Lord to speak to our hearts, to soften our hearts, and to give us a love for our world that cares, that really shows Him to those around us. So the month of February is going to be really, really fun. But today, I want to just set some groundwork. Last week, we were in 1 Thessalonians, the first few verses, and today we're going to look at the last 12 verses or so. Of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 24. And I believe that as this would be titled in your Bible, Final Instructions and Benediction, I believe that Paul is making it pretty clear that to follow God, we have to be in tune with God, and we've got to be willing to listen, we've got to be willing to grow, we've got to be willing to be encouraged, and sometimes that word might even be admonished. Not just like, you should, it'd be nice, but stop that. Let's not do that, because that's not following what Jesus would have us to do. And most of us in the room, if we have a conversation, or maybe your spouse or a friend or a boss comes up to you and says, stop it. Most of us don't really like that conversation at all. We might not agree with them, especially if we don't agree with them. And what happens when the Word says, stop it? I think that's kind of what Paul is closing this section here in 1 Thessalonians with. So we're going to read it, and then we're going to fly through and see how it might just jump out at us today. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Now, first of all, if you've read that, you probably are scared because you're like, it's 11:32, and that's like the whole message of the Bible. How are we going to preach the whole message of the Bible in 28 minutes to get out of here at 12 to be sure we get some good lunchtime experience? That's a great question. I'm not sure how that's going to happen, but we're gonna believe and walk into it. So I just think as we look at it, we see some interesting things in here. It says to be at peace. It says seek to do good. It says to follow the will of God. It says to hold fast to what is good. It says he is faithful. It says he will do it. Those things are things that I like, all of those. Those sound pretty good. I want to be at peace. I want to do good. I want to follow the will of God. I want to hold fast. I want God to show himself faithful, right? That sounds really good. But as we read there, I think you saw some other parts that we struggle with just a bit more than the end thing. So it be at peace, verse 12 and 13. How do we do that? Respect those who labor among you. Respect. Sometimes we don't like that quite as much. So you're telling me to be at peace, I've got to respect everyone around me, basically. Especially those that labor among me, especially those who are over you. Some of you, in fact, at this moment are like, I'm going to go to the bathroom because I don't like a sermon where I have to put myself under authority and be admonished by someone. I don't want to do it. But the word is very clear that something mighty happens. Those who labor among us, leaders, are recognized not by their title, but by their service. And when I think of the Sierras last night at their house, that was service. If you were in their home, you were one of the 45 people or so that were there, you should respect them because they opened up their beautiful home and said, Lord, it's yours. If it gets burnt down tonight with 45 people in it, it's yours. Now, hopefully not actually burnt down, but, and thankfully, it sounded like people respected well, and you could go home, you could go to bed and feel good about it. It's like, woo, this is awesome. Wait, we get to respect those who labor among us. There is no doubt that the Sierras love their neighbor, love their church family, want to see people come to know the Lord, because they said, come on in. We will get every inch of this house full of people and chairs and stuff so that we can make this a good night. We need to respect those who labor among us and are over you. This describes a clear, legitimate authority, an order of authority. In your life, there are people who are over you. And this is where some of us in the room, there's a good percentage, do not like that. In fact, everything else you'll probably be fine today, but you just want to cut that out, get rid of it, throw it out. And there's an authority structure in the kingdom that starts with God. And that we get to be a part and fit in, and we get to see how God would use us and how God would speak and how God would show himself. But I cannot be at peace if I just want to do life how I want to do life and don't care what God and his order would say. It is impossible to be at peace. I've got to respect. I've got to those that labor among me, those that are over us in the Lord, and those that admonish you. This means to caution or to reprove gently, to warn. This is serious. This is that thing. We don't really like it. And it would be said that it would be like in a brotherly tone. But Morris would say it would be in a big brotherly tone. So not your little brother, but your big brother, who if you don't do it, gives you the elbow to help you out. You know, it's just going to help you out. That's the sort of thing that would be here. To be at peace, we have to respect those who labor, are over us, and who admonish, who tell us, hey, it's time to do something different. Now, my dad, he had the opportunity to raise 3 children, and then he had the opportunity and still has the opportunity to work with a couple of those children. And there have been times, I'm sure you can't believe this, but in the last 13, 14 years of ministry, I think we're actually almost to 15 years of ministry, the dad kind of had to be the big brother, the boss, the dad, lots of different roles, and kind of say, get it together, Chris. What's wrong with you, basically? I don't know if that's the exact wording, but it came clear as to what he was trying to say. A few times, I remember a specific moment when we, as a youth ministry, as the youth pastor, we were doing all this crazy stuff, And the vehicles became the by far lowest priority. So we'd get done with events, and then we'd just leave them. They'd be trashed. And I got pulled into the figurative office, I don't know where it was, and told, you can't just use stuff and blow it up and leave it. Like, that's not okay. You can have your team help you. You can just do it yourself. You can have the students help you. But there's going to be a respect for what we do. I can be honest, I was in a season where it was hard. Not because I don't agree, I 100% agree, but it's like, I'm so busy, I don't have time, I don't have one more thing. But you know what? There came a level of having to submit and to respect and to say, although in this moment I shouldn't, I felt like some of my children, this doesn't happen often, but you feel like, I don't have it in me, I don't know. You respect and you say, Lord, I'm going to do what you have. I want to be at peace. I want us to be at peace, but I want us to be at peace. And how do I do that? I put myself under a spiritual authority who can push me towards what God has for me. Is that always easy? No. In fact, normally, when authority has to use their authority, it's normally not all that pleasant for them necessarily, but for you. But what is our response? So to be at peace, which sounds really, really good, I have to respect my authority. I have to, those who labor among me, those who are over me, those who admonish me, those who esteem, and to esteem them very highly in love. Even if I don't like what they want or what they're doing, I have to bless them, esteem them, give them praise. Sometimes, because guess what? I'm not the boss. I'm not the one that has the final say. So, Lord, help me, help us to esteem one another, to care for one another. Because as I can care for those that would be over me, then we can be at peace as we all do that together. So, Lord, I want to be at peace, but Lord, help me with this stuff. It says, seek to do good. That sounds really, really nice. It says, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. Oh, man, here we go again. Here we go again. Yeah, seek to do good sounds nice. But then it says that you have to get up and you have to say, you are idle, or you are lazy, or you are not accomplishing what God would have you accomplish in your life, or God has so much more for you, but it's time to get up. It's time to move. Sometimes it could be in service, but it's a warning about the disastrous consequences of actions. It's as if saying, calling a soldier who would leave the ranks when they shouldn't. What happens if we want to do good? We can't be leaving the ranks. It doesn't work. I am on a war movie kick. I love war documentaries somehow. Never when I was in school, my mom teaching, never was that the case. So she's probably like, frustrating. And it doesn't work well when there's a whole line of people over hundreds of miles, and then if someone or a group of people just leave, guess what? The enemy has a pretty good opportunity to scoot right in. And we must be a people that seek to do good. But that means there's going to be admonishment. It means sometimes we're going to have to encourage a brother. And sometimes we're going to be that brother or sister who needs to be encouraged. Sometimes you are going to give it and sometimes you're going to receive it. It says to encourage the faint-hearted. That sounds good. But sometimes when we work with people who are faint-hearted, who are struggling, who need, sometimes that can be difficult, right? It's difficult to help people. I think of Radiant Care Team. I'm so blessed by the Radiant Care Team because they are walking alongside of people in this moment who are struggling, who are weak, who need a touch of God. And it's a blessing because it's hard. It's not easy. In fact, if you're in Radiant Care Team, you meet every Sunday night and for 50 hours worth. And then you meet every other Sunday night. And then you're meeting with people. It takes effort to care for people. But that's what doing good is encouraging those around us, encouraging the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. And I can say 100% that is my struggle, is I much prefer, I'm a really good counselor, really good. If you come in and then you leave and you're good, I'm really, really good, right? If I give you some advice and you walk away and you're good, that's easy. I can do that. But it's hard to be patient and to walk with people. It's hard sometimes in parenting. Like, how many months or weeks or maybe years do I have to walk through a situation? I'm going to be patient, because to do good, to follow God, to be all he's called us to be, I must be patient. To see that no one repays anyone evil for evil. That is easy to do. To do the evil, to show and repay evil. It's a whole lot more difficult. Say, Lord, don't let me do that. When someone does something to me, let me turn the other cheek. In fact, that's what Jesus said in Matthew 5, 39 and 44. And the Jews of their day, many of them, did not like these statements. In fact, they would have been offensive to them, because the Messiah was supposed to come and be a military leader. The Messiah was supposed to come and bust some heads and make some things happen and bring freedom and deliverance. And when the Messiah would come and say, turn the other cheek, they'd say, well, you can't be my Messiah, because that's not what I want. That's not what I desire. That's not what I want in my life. But the word of God, what Jesus preached, and then what Paul preaches, is don't repay evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Always seek to do good to everyone. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people that don't think like I think, don't act like I act, that I don't understand, that I need empathy for. But the word says, seek to do good, not to those I know, not to the ones that it's easy, but to everyone. To love and honor the goodness of God, to speak the truth of God, to admonish, to encourage, to help, to be patient, to do good even when evil is what maybe people deserve, but not in the kingdom, because Jesus loves and cares for each and every person. Be at peace. Seek to do good. Follow the will of God. How do we do that? I think all of us want to follow the will of God. I think if we made everybody go to one side of the room and said, if you want to follow the will of God, sit on the left side, I'm pretty sure this side would be quite empty, because I think we would say, that's me. But once again, that means it says to rejoice always. To follow the will of God means I have to rejoice always. How is that even possible? How can I rejoice always? But the Lord gives us strength. In fact, the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit. The word of God says to rejoice, to be joyful, even in the midst of things that aren't joyful. I can praise God for who he is and for what he's done. It says in verse 17, to pray without ceasing. So I need to be rejoicing always. I need to pray without ceasing, which would kind of be always. Rejoice and pray always, right? Get into what God has. Give thanks in all circumstances, which that does not sound easy. Has anybody ever been in a situation where you'd rather not give thanks? Because that doesn't even make a ton of sense in your mind. I see some hands. There's some people like, come on, that's me. We've been there. But the word of God says to follow the will of God means I'm going to give thanks in all circumstances. Very important. It does not say give thanks for all. Right? It doesn't say give thanks for a problem. God is not standing around making bad things happen in your life. That is not God. But even in the midst of a sinful, fallen world, I can follow the will of God when I give thanks in the middle of trials or problems, temptation. When I give thanks because God is with me. Paul, he modeled that, I would say, just a bit in his ministry. He wrote books of the Bible from prison, encouraging people to be happy, to be joyful, to do the... He is an amazing example. Wow. Because he got it. I'm going to follow the will of God, and that means I'm going to be rejoicing, I'm going to be in prayer, I'm going to be giving thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I just believe that when we can understand and we can begin to learn that, Lord, how I'm going to follow your will is by rejoicing when it doesn't make sense, by praying when I don't feel like it, and keeping the attitude of prayer about my life and all things, and I'm going to give thanks even when it doesn't make sense. all of a sudden, the power and the wisdom of God begins to move in our life. John Bunyan said, prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge to Satan. And I believe that that is something I need in my life. I need the power of God. I need that shield. I want to give a sacrifice to God, and I want to get Satan whenever I can. Not because it's him, but because honoring God means I'm sticking it to Satan. Because he's got nothing on God. He's nothing compared to the power of our God. But I must rejoice. I must pray. I must give thanks. Be at peace. Seek to do good. Follow the will of God. Hold fast to what is good. You could see this morning, we are a Pentecostal church. We love going after the things of God. Sometimes we're going to worship a little longer than we planned because when God starts moving and God starts speaking, come on. Let's do it. We are in with what he has. And then it goes on. So all of these great things, put yourself under authority, encourage, help others, be patient, do good in spite when we want to do evil, rejoice, pray, give thanks. And then he says, do not quench the spirit. And there's times in our life when it is a lot easier just to say, I'm going to do life in my own way, in my own power, in my own wisdom. It's a lot easier for a moment. I mean, it doesn't end a lot easier, but in the moment it seems easier. I can tell you what, it's a whole lot easier on a Sunday morning if we know exactly the song's going to take 3 minutes and 43 seconds and the next one's going to take 4 minutes and 52 seconds and then it's going to be done and it's going to be, you know, 11:02. And then we're going to have offering and announcements, and we're going to, that sounds great from a planner, but you know what that doesn't sound great in? We're quenching the spirit and say, good luck, fit into what we got for you. And I think God, not in Sunday morning, that's almost irrelevant, but in our lives, he's asking us, are you giving me time in your life? Sunday morning is a whole other thing, but in your life, or do you get up and do the same routine? You get in your car and you drive to work listening to the same thing. You get home and you do the same thing. Or are you actively looking for the Word of God and the Spirit to move in your life? Are you actively seeing God be poured out in you and through you? Verse 20 says, do not despise prophecies. Sometimes it's hard when people give a word and we don't know how to take it. But the word of God says that we should not despise prophecies. If I'm going to hold fast to what is good, I don't quench the spirit. I don't despise prophecies. But I do test everything. I put it in what God is doing. And I would encourage you this week to ask the Lord when you see something on TV or you see something where you work or you see something at your school or wherever you would be at your home. Would you ask the Lord, what are you doing in this? What does this look like? How are you speaking? What do you want me to do? Because for us to be people that hold fast to what is good, we have to ask the Lord for wisdom. When we're leading a small group at our home, we need to ask the Lord for wisdom. How do we take 10 or 45 people and make sure that they're experiencing God and growing in God? How do we take our time and what we're doing in the church, in our small groups, and minister to the lost, the people that need Jesus? We've got to test everything, listen for his voice, allow him to speak in our life so that we can hold fast to what is good. For our worship team, if you would make your way back up here on the stage, today I titled this Faithful God. Exclamation point, he is. But faithful people with a question mark. And I think I could say for my own self, faithful person, faithful Chris with a question mark. Because every single day, I have the opportunity to be at peace, to seek to do good, to follow the will of God, to hold to what is fast, and to do the things that are listed here. Or I have the opportunity to say it's a whole lot easier to just go with what culture says. It is a whole lot easier to not have sermon series like we're going to have in the month of February. Because there's going to be people that don't like what I'm going to say, or don't like what the word's going to say, or just aren't going to like it. And I am begging us as a church to realize that he is faithful, because that is done. He is faithful. In fact, we're going to look at it here in a second. But the question is, are we faithful? Are we faithful to get the word of God and to make it the most important thing in my life? Are we faithful? Because God, I believe this morning and every single moment, he's standing there. Whether we feel him, as Pastor Rachel said, whether we can hear his voice, whether we, it doesn't matter. He's there with us. He's walking with us. His power in your life wants to be made known and real. But the question is, am I willing to be at peace and do what it takes, to seek to do good and do what it takes, to follow the will of God, which means I've got to do what it takes and allow the Spirit to move in me, to hold fast to what is good. It says to abstain from every evil in verse 24 or 22. Every evil. That's a lot of them, but it says to abstain from every, in fact, form of evil. This word form literally means that which is seen, the external appearance. It points to the external form in which evil presents itself. They are to shun evil in whatever form or appearance it may present itself. That's who I want to be, is someone that shuns evil, that gets rid of it, that does not allow it in my life, which means we must have real conversations and let God speak and see that he's faithful. He's going to do it. It says to be sanctified completely, not a little bit, not a little bit, but to be completely sanctified, to be set apart. It has the force, this word, of no part being left unreached. And in my life, and I pray in your life, I pray that's where we are and that's who we want to be, that we want the goodness of God to get every single corner of our lives, of our spirits, of our soul, every part of who we are, and experience the power of God. John Wesley said, what is Christian perfection? It's loving God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And this morning, God is faithful. God is here. God is relevant in the United States of America in 2020, and the truths of the Word of God still stand strong. In fact, I was out at lunch with some people, and they said that I say, I believe about the Bible. And I was appalled at that I said that, and then no one's ever told me. I don't have to believe what the Bible says. The Bible is. It is all there is, the Word of God. And in our lives, we need to not just have to say, well, I believe the Bible, I believe. But I know that what it says is real, and all I have to do is study the Word. And when I study the Word, then I know the Word. And when I know the Word, it becomes real in my life. I don't have to say anything about it. Believe. The Word is. The Word of God is true. And over the next few weeks, over this week, I pray in your home, would you allow God to speak new life, new revelation to you? Would you let prophecy take hold of you, that when you're on your way to work or when you're in a cubicle around somebody or at the grocery store, let the Lord speak to you. Don't quench what he wants to do when you leave these doors today. Don't quench what he wants to do. Our God is faithful on a Sunday morning, but oh, so much more on a Monday morning or a Tuesday morning. He's so faithful. Throughout the Word of God, we see this God of faithfulness. In fact, if we could just stand all over the room today, and there may be some people that as we read some scripture, you need to make your way to an altar. You need to say this morning, I believe, I walk in the faithfulness of God, but I need encouragement in my spirit to truly walk in it. I need to experience the faithfulness of God. Or maybe today you are believing for a miracle in your body. You are believing for a miracle that he is your faithful God. And you need to come find an altar. We're not going to take a long time, but if God would speak, I encourage you to come even as we read these verses on faithfulness. Exodus 34:6 says, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. He loves somebody here today that you don't know it, you don't feel it, you don't believe it, but he loves you. He's gracious and merciful. Deuteronomy 7:9. Now therefore, that the Lord know that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love. Deuteronomy 32:4, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. Somebody needs to hear today, your God is just, he is upright, and he loves you so much. Psalm 33:4, for the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. 36:5, your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Psalms 89:1-2 and 5 and verse 8, with my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are. O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Lamentations 3:22, great is your faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Today, there's somebody in the house that you are struggling to make the right decision in your life. The Lord will not let you be tempted more than you can hold, but there's a way of escape. And you've got to take that way of escape. You've got to say, Lord, I'm going to go your way. He's faithful, but am I going to be faithful? 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This morning, three people said, I want to tell the world of what God has done in my heart. And as I was up here worshiping, if you want to be baptized next week, we will do a baptism next week, because I think there's some folks in the room that you've never stepped out in obedience to tell the world what God did in your life. You might have been here for 20 years. Maybe you've been a Christian follower of Jesus for a long time. But I would encourage you, if you've never been baptized and told the world, come see me after church. We'll keep that thing full. We'll keep it hot, and we will do another baptism next week, because there's nothing more exciting than having people experience God and then tell the world about what he has done, because he is faithful. We confess our sins. Revelation 19:11. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called faithful and true. And today, I believe God wants to do a mighty thing in our lives. A faithful God calls out to a people. And I believe he calls, will you be faithful? Faithful enough to say yes to me. Faithful enough to just say, Jesus, I love you. Faithful enough to just say, I'm going to turn over my desires and my will and what I have. I'm going to offer it to you. And this morning as we close, if you're in the house today and you are not walking in personal relationship with God, we just read about it. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And all you have to do in this moment is just ask the Lord, Lord, would you make me whole? Would you make me clean? Forgive me of my sins. And our Father wraps you up. He brings you into his family. He takes away the sin that's in your life. And he celebrates. In fact, the word of God says that heaven celebrates. So today we're going to close with a song. We're going to worship. We're just going to offer him ourselves. And I would ask you, would you make your prayer today? Lord Jesus, you are faithful. The God is faithful. You are faithful. But Lord, help me. Help me to be faithful. Help me to have my eyes turned to you. Help me to have my heart turned to you. Help me to line every part of who I am up with your word, with your truth. Help me to see your word in my life and be able to share it to our world. So Lord, right now I pray a blessing over this church, over those who maybe just gave their heart to you, maybe over those that need to jump into the obedience of being water baptized next week, or maybe, Lord Jesus, we just need to be faithful. We need to say yes to you, a greater level than last week or last month. And Lord, would you help us to be a people that are at peace, that seek to do good, that follow your will, that hold fast to what is good, and that are simply faithful because you are faithful. So Lord, give us the ability to believe that you will do it. Whatever you're speaking, that you will do it. Lord Jesus, we ask you to do your work. We ask you, Jesus, to move in might and in power. Lord Jesus, we thank you.